And away we go with hour number three, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Rob Brown radio program right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one Lonzo with you today and every day from 6 until 10 a.m. on this great radio station that we love to call the Fan Upstate. I was debating on when, maybe if, I should bring this to our attention, but I have to tell you, I found it on the internet. I love it so much. All right, it's a little old. I frankly don't know how old it is. I also frankly don't care. There was, at some point on television, there was an advertisement for a home shopping network. A guy was on this QVC style program and was selling packages of baseball cards. Now, I don't know about you guys. I don't collect cards anymore. I used to. I think we all did when we were kids, all growing up, we collected cards. And there are some guys that hang on to that hobby. They collect and trade baseball cards. I'm totally fine with that, man. Like, and not just baseball, you know, sports cards as a whole, they've gotten big. I watched a video the other day of a guy who opened a pack and found a Michael Jordan rookie card that was worth like 10 grand. I get it. It's a treasure hunt. I have no issue if you're still into the game. It just, I got out of my baseball card phase about college, and it kind of went away from me a little bit. I didn't get it. But there are still dudes who buy them, who trade them, who sell them, whatever. So it's a big business. And so it absolutely makes sense that there would be people on TV going QVC style selling cards. Well, somebody found a clip of one of these guys on a local QVC style market selling cards. It was a bundle. You got a box that came with like a little souvenir off on the side. And you could buy this box of baseball cards for $39.99. And based on the sales pitch of the dude that was on TV pimping these cards, apparently not buying these cards would be the biggest mistake that you've ever made. Why? Well, I'll just let the host of the Wild West Shopping Network sell you on these cards. I'm sold. I'm all in. I'm buying two.
Wow. If you're in, if you want to pick up the best chick in the bar, apparently.
Guys like Michael Jordan want to hang out with you.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the greatest sales pitch I've ever heard in my life.
This guy,
I would buy a timeshare from that guy.
Guy sounds like someone who wears a hairpiece. I'm just saying. I don't know what he looks like, but that's what I'm picturing.
I mean, that guy sounds like he eats gyms for breakfast. Six-pack abs, perfect hair. He's 6'8". He's clearly got all the ladies. I mean, save some for the rest of us, bud.
That's it. He's tired, so he's wanting to share his tips with everyone.
Listen. Yeah. If you buy this box of baseball cards for $39.99, chicks want to hang out with you. You will walk up to the hottest chick at the bar and say, you, me, home together. And she'll go, why? And you go, because I bought this deal, baby. I don't let great deals pass me by.
Hey, Rob, what if it worked?
Are you telling me you believe for a second it doesn't?
I have some doubts. Yes, I do. I have some doubts about the effectiveness of this method, but, you know, I'd be willing to entertain it. And I mean, not me personally, but watch someone else do it and see if it's effective.
I mean, you're telling me.
Would you have to live in the area? Would you have to be on the West Coast for it to work?
I think.
I'm guessing it's West Coast because of, you know.
You can go anywhere in America and say, hey, baby, I bought the $39.99 deal on WideWestDeals.com, and you could score Scarlett Johansson. Sorry, Colin, backseat anchorman. I'm taking ScarJo home because I bought the $40 box for $39.99 from WildWestDeals.com. Let's go.
Hey, bro, things are going to turn around. You know why? Because I bought the $39.95 pack. I'm hitting the bar tonight. It's happening. The chicks everywhere. Baby.
You. Me. It's incredible. And can I point out, Zoe, from a radio perspective, not an not a second of hesitation. That was an L.A. Knight, yeah, caliber promo right there. Not a hold up to be heard in 60 seconds of promo time.
It's well done, and I believe it was probably live, so it's not something that he was able to do several takes. He just hit all that, you know, just off the top of his head because he's that good.
Like it was nothing. Hey, you, me, tonight. Why? Because I bought the deal on WildWestDeals.com. That is the stuff of legends.
Do we know the guy's name?
I don't. His name is Don. That's all I got. Because, of course, it is. His name is Don. And I regret to inform you that you will all not be hanging out with hot chicks all night long because that website's not on the internet anymore. I just tried to go to wildwestdeals.com because I was about to drop a 40 spot on that box so I could take the L away and put a W there. I thought to myself, you know what? I bet that if I ordered this set from Don of WildWestDeals.com, even though I'm engaged, my fiance would tell me, why don't you go hang out with hot chicks all night long? Because you bought that deal from WildWestDeals.com.
All right, I looked up old Don. He's got a YouTube page, Don West Deals.
Get out.
Yes.
Get out. Well, you know.
And the first thing that pops up is the electric guitar shirt, and it is sweet.
Is it wrong that I want you to just roll the audio from one?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I just found it. You are right. That it almost feels like a gimmick. It almost feels like a promo. But from what I understand, it wasn't. This was genuinely a show that Don did like a local QVC kind of deal on. I listen. Take the L away, put a W.
I don't know. There's a guy on his show called Jim Bob Johnny Walker Black.
Johnny Walker Black is a liquor. That's an actual whiskey.
Yeah, I know. His name is Jim Bob Black, but in quotation marks, Johnny Walker. So Jim Bob Black's nickname's Johnny Walker.
I like that. Okay. I like that.
All right.
I like that a lot. Texter said, Rob, I just bought four boxes so I can take the L away. I would call the show, but I don't want to miss Michael Jordan's call. Now it's the right call, because guys like Michael Jordan, they're going to call and want to hang out with you, baby.
But they're only going to call once. So you got to be standing by.
They only need to call once because you don't miss a deal. You don't miss a great decision like that. I will buy a timeshare from that man. If that man told me that there's a Nigerian prince who wants to give me $1 million and all I got to do is send him $1,000 to arrange the deal, I'd send him 2. That's the most convincing on-air salesperson of all. Billy Mays, get your ass in the back seat because Don is here. Don West is in the building, baby. You buy this deal, you're the cock of the walk. You're hanging out with hot chicks all night long. Yeah.
It's an excellent logo that he's got going on, too. Wild West Deals.
It's not as good as that electric guitar shirt that he's pimping.
Sure does. Pretty sweet.
Texter said, just had to send MJ to voicemail because Beyonce's calling. Yeah. If you bought four packs from WildWestDeals.com, which doesn't exist anymore, and I elect to believe that WildWestDeals.com doesn't exist anymore, not because they didn't do enough business, great one, but because they did so much business that Don is at his fifth mansion in Antigua right now overlooking the Caribbean.
Dude, WildWestDeals.com does have a Facebook page.
Do not go there, people. You can't handle the success that Don West has in his life that you never will. That's what an incredible promo. If that doesn't get you to get back into your baseball card era, nothing will. That was unbelievable. You know what? Screw it. I want it one more. The more you clap, the better it is. Baby.
I don't know. He's got kind of a Lou Holtz feel to his voice now that I listen to it a little bit more.
Baby.
Like more energy than Lou, obviously, but still.
You know how many, do you know how many sound bites we're about to pull out of that 1 minute?
I know how many you are.
About 9. Baby. I act quick. Baby. I heard that last night. It showed up on my Instagram, and I'm like, well, that's a segment. There's no way I can't share that greatness with the people. It's unbelievable.
It made my day.
Yeah.
And there's some people out there, it's just like the texter, ready to go now. Now they got the formula.
Texter said no one has ever swiped left on the Don. No. Don gets right swipes left and right, baby. Hot chicks want to hang out with him all night long, baby. And you know how I know that's true? Because he refers to them as hot chicks, baby. The dude who gets the hot chicks is the guy who refers to the hot chicks as the hot chicks. The Don walks into a room and goes, I bought 4 of the packs on WildWestDeals.com for $39.99. And the ladies say, the Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you here on a lovely Upstate Monday morning. Let's dive back in to the world of sport, shall we? As we had another phenomenal weekend, including the Masters. I wondered how hard the world of golf was going to go on the paint, in the paint, around some paint, on the LIV Tour v PGA Tour battle with all these guys back out on the floor. And I'll say this. I talked about this on the show on Friday. We talked a little bit about what's happening with golf. And Lonzo had I think, apt point of, look, golf for about a decade and a half benefited from the greatness of Tiger Woods because he was compelling, he was charismatic, he was interesting, and he dominated everybody. He was good. I think that Tiger raised the audience, but he also raised the audience's expectations, for sure. And without Tiger, which means you are missing out on 2 things. You're missing out on a guy that has incredible charisma, but you're also missing out on a dominant golfer. Or you were until Scottie Scheffler showed up. Scottie right now is playing golf the way Tiger was playing golf in his prime. I don't know if he's going to have a decades-long success run like Tiger did, but he's in that mix. Let me tell you, post-LIV Tour split, when golf was the most interesting. It was when you had the initials or pre-initial split, when you had a rivalry going between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. I don't know if you remember the interview, but there was a spot at one of the majors where Brooks Koepka was doing an interview, and this was right after Bryson DeChambeau came back. And remember, when Bryson DeChambeau came back and he was completely yoked beyond belief. He came back absolutely jacked, and he was a big science dork. Remember that? Golf's all calculus and trigonometry and algebra.
Didn't he have, like, T-shirts or something?
He had polo shirts that had, like, little Benson burners and beakers and mass signs on them. And I thought that was really compelling because he came back and he said, yo, I'm approaching golf the way that all you old stuffy folks hate it. I'm approaching golf. This is the conversation. It's happening in other sports, too. What do we call it in other sports? Analytics. Old hat baseball guys despise the analytics guys. Guys like me. Guys who go, numbers. Numbers. You still got to play gut feelings here and there, but numbers tell you everything. We now have supercomputers that I can plug my pitcher in, and I can plug in any set of variables. What does this guy do in the fifth inning against left-handers with two outs, with two strikes and two balls on the scoreboard? And that computer will go look through that guy's entire career history and say, 83% of the time, he throws a curveball down and away. So likely, he's probably coming curveball here. Not a guarantee, but likely he's probably coming curveball. And I can tell my batter, hey, sit on the curveball here. Watch the curveball low and away. That's where you're swinging. Everything's analytics. Every sport is analytics. Every sport, there is truth in the numbers. And Bryson DeChambeau came back and said, I'm a numbers guy. Every shot I hit, every spot on the golf course, I'm going to have a little book that I'm going to open up. And that book is going to say, on this hole, from this spot, at this percentage, this is the right club. And that's what I'm going to play. There's no more guesswork here. I'm going to have a little book that's got a million circles on every hole. And it says, if your ball is in this circle, you hit an 8-iron. And if it's in this circle, you hit a 7-iron. And he was kind of being a gigantic. And everybody got real mad. And Brooks Koepka, who's the exact opposite of that, kind of hated Bryson DeChambeau. And there was an interview when Brooks was doing an on-camera interview where Bryson DeChambeau came walking past him. And while he was walking past him, he was walking in golf spikes but on concrete. You know that sound that golf spikes make when they're on concrete? That sound?
Same sound anyone who wears high heels in our hallway makes.
Correct, but like nine of them. He's walking by Koepka with these loud-ass spikes on concrete, and Brooks Koepka looks back over his shoulder, and as he's coming back to Cam, pulls a Jim Halpert and rolls his eyes. So far, I thought they probably could have seen his brain. And everybody was like, oh, this is a rivalry. This is a rivalry. Well, then, Brooks Koepka moved on, got past the rivalry. Now they're friends. They're playing golf together on the weekends. They're buddy-buddy at this point. That rivalry went away. And it just kind of died quietly, right? Like, they didn't have that game six jumper to break the other guy's heart deciding moment. They didn't have a rivalry like Magic and Larry where it was obviously based on mutual respect, but those guys were trying to kill each other. They didn't have that. It just stopped. And they don't have that anymore. And so I kind of thought I would be not surprised to see the tour and to see Augusta play up the PGA v. LIV Tour battle on the course. Well, you had two things happen. Number one, outside of Max Homa, you didn't really have a LIV guy that was anywhere near the top of the leaderboard. You had Max Homa hanging out there, and outside of that, there wasn't really body in the LIV Tour that felt like a threat late Saturday or at any point on Sunday. Early in the day, Sunday, I thought, like, okay, maybe Max Homa makes a push here. He's within striking distance. But then Scottie Scheffler went out there, did Scottie Scheffler things, and nope.
I'm trying to recall the portion that I watched, which was a pretty good amount Sunday, them pointing out this is a LIV golfer and this is a PGA golfer, and I don't recall seeing that.
They really didn't. Now, I will point out that.
Did they do that a bunch when this whole thing started?
Not, I mean, yes, like the world of golf definitely did. Like golf was doing its best to kind of pimp this rivalry a little bit, to kind of make this rivalry feel genuine. But you got a couple of problems that have prevented that. The first problem you have is neither side is actually doing anything talking smack back and forth because they got that merger on the table. They got that merger on the table between the PGA and the LIV Tour. They both want it to happen when they get the details down. They both want it to happen. And so they can't really openly go out there and have the PGA boys, which is why, like I said, Rory McIlroy for a hot minute was the guy I was paying attention to because Rory was out there running his mouth about the LIV Tour and, you know, calling them rebels and calling them castaways and all that. And I was like, hell yeah, now it's interesting. And then he stopped. And he's chalked it up to, well, I just want to focus on golf. But I think anybody who's following the story knows, no, the PGA told you to knock it off because the only way to make the LIV Tour go away is to join hands with them, right? Like they've reached the if you can't beat them, join them part of the conversation. And I think because of that, you've pretty much ended up in a position where the LIV Tour guys aren't going to come after the PGA guys. The PGA guys aren't going to go after the LIV guys. And it's not really a rivalry if they're not fighting, right? Like the Magic v. Bird rivalry isn't the Magic v. Bird rivalry if they don't keep meeting each other in the NBA Finals every year.
Yeah, if you're not getting, if I'm paired with him, I'm just not playing type yeah. things. If you're not getting that, then it has to start from the ground up like it did when players were going at each other since they stopped doing that, really. The thing has just fizzled.
It would work if you had Brooks like, hey, I'm with Bryson. That guy, the LIV Tour, his stupid biceps, his tight t-shirts, his game, his wife, his mom. Like that'd be like, okay, now, oh yeah, no, obviously I have to watch this. But when you got everybody out there playing nice, and because they're playing nice, TV can't manufacture a rivalry for us out of it.
But here's the thing. So I, not a golf fan, while I'm watching yesterday, I see DeChambeau show up on the leaderboard a little bit like he's going on a run. And that's the first thing I think of is all that back and forth. Without that, I'd have no idea who he is.
I think it's, I mean, Bryson DeChambeau for a hot minute was arguably the most notorious golfer on tour, both before and right after the split. He was notorious because he was playing pretty good ball before the split. It was notorious when he went over because a lot of folks, I think, thought that Bryson would be one of the guys that stuck around. Like he just kind of had that vibe to him, and he did, and he took the money and ran. Woo, woo, woo. So Bryson DeChambeau, when he went to the LIV Tour, somebody asked me on Friday, why is LIV Tour not a better deal? Why is it not a bigger deal? And on the flip side, why is the PGA Tour suffering right now? And I said, to me, honestly, it's kind of an easy answer, ultimately. It's kind of an easy answer, and it's twofold. The first is that without the LIV Tour guys, the PGA Tour events feel watered down. The PGA Tour events don't feel like they are the best golf. It feels like best versus rest, not best versus best. And that kind of takes away from it a little bit. On the flip side, why isn't the LIV Tour a bigger deal? That one feels even easier to me. That one feels like primarily it is because of the fact that it's just different. It's a different format. It's different competitors. I think that the 58 hole or 56 hole instead of the full 72 kind of takes away from it for a lot of people. I feel like the team orientation of it takes away from a lot of people. I feel like because it is so dramatically different from the PGA Tour, change is fine, but it has to be incremental change. I'm going to go ahead and make the stab great one that when the NFL kicks off in week one with the new kickoff rules, social media is going to burn because of people going, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, this is dumb, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. Because they didn't incrementally change kickoff. They dramatically changed kickoff. LIV Tour dramatically changed from what golf fans had been used to for 1,000 years. And because of that change being so dramatic, I think it was hard for them to convince people. You also have to bring up the fact that LIV Tour is inaccessible, right? Where's LIV Tour playing this weekend? I got no idea.
Well, I thought you said they were on the CW.
Sure. What channel's the CW at your house?
62.
Okay, that's not fair. They do all the, or they used to do all the comic book shows.
Used to, yeah. Yeah. That's why I know. Yeah.
I would go if I ask 99 people on the streets of Greenville, South Carolina, the overwhelming majority of them couldn't tell me what channel the CW is at their house if I gave them $100 to do it.
But if they did, you would right away go, Arrowverse nerd.
Correct. And the ones that did, I would go, oh, okay, you were in for Smallville. Got it. Got it. It's inaccessible. It's inaccessible. It's a bunch of unknowns. It's a wild format. And now you have split the best group of golfers into two. So no tournament has all the best. They all have half of the best and then everybody else that jumped up. And we don't go for that. Never have. So I thought they would really lean on the PGA Tour, LIV Tour split in this Masters tournament. And they really didn't. And I don't know if that is because it is hard to prop up a rivalry where the two sides in the rivalry don't talk about it being a rivalry, A, and B, go ahead.
I was going to say that the first thing on the CW sports page is LIV Golf.
I'm sure it is.
Followed by NWA Wrestling, 100 Days to Indy, Inside the NFL, and ACC College Basketball.
Yeah, I think that tells you what you need to know. I don't know if you know this. College basketball is kind of over, and that's what they're pimping right now. I think that's kind of the point. So I thought they were going to lean into it. They really didn't. And I don't know if it's because both sides of the rivalry aren't pretending it's a rivalry. And or B, LIV Tour guys weren't really in competition because Scottie Scheffler just killed everybody. Not sure. We got to run to a break. When we come back here in the next segment, John Blau covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. We're going to talk to John coming up next. We'll check in on this baseball tournament. Baseball series that took place between Clemson and NC State. We'll see if there's any final thoughts about basketball season. All of that coming up next with John Blau with the Post and Courier on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob, Lonzo, and you. Great to have you on the show every Monday at 8:40. We welcome to the radio broadcast from the Post and Courier. He is a reporter covering Clemson Athletics. He is John Blau joining us here on the show. John, welcome back, big dog. How was Masters weekend for you, partner?
I didn't watch a single minute of it.
Are you anti-golf guy, or were you wrapped up in Clemson sports and you just didn't get a chance?
I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, I remember back in eighth grade, I thought I was going to be Happy Gilmore, and I was really great in eighth grade golf. I remember class just driving at the ball, and then I just, you know, lost interest completely. And so don't really care. And then also, a lot of Clemson stuff going on.
Were you in when Tiger? We talked a lot about Tiger and the fact that he stank this weekend, which of course he did. He's almost 50 and broken at this point. Were you like one of the guys that were in it when Tiger was big, and then when Tiger went away, there's not really anybody compelling, so you bailed out?
I think I just liked fake golf again, Happy Gilmore, more than real golf. And I don't know. Like, I thought that movie was funny. Tiger was kind of interesting, you know, I think for everyone, obviously a big name, but I never really enjoyed watching actual golf.
Fair enough. John Blau from the Post and Courier covers Clemson Athletics, joins us here on Mondays on the Rob Brown Show to check in. Let's jump in with just a quick basketball note, John. We have seen a couple of guys transferring out of Clemson. John Beadle is one. He's on his way over to Boston College. He is not alone. We have seen some other players transfer out. Can you kind of give us some updates on transfers in, transfers out, and how this is being approached and handled by Brad Brownell?
Yeah, so there are a couple of transfers, like you mentioned, Josh Beadle, and also Jack Clark, the sixth-year forward. He also put his name in the transfer portal. Those two weren't all that surprising. I think Beadle only played a combined 4 minutes in the NCAA tournament. Jack Clark was a guy that fit really well this year, but I don't think they necessarily plan to have him back for a seventh year, which he could potentially play because of an injury in one of his earlier seasons. The one surprise was RJ Godfrey, the sophomore forward, played some really big minutes off the bench for Clemson during the NCAA tournament. Really seemed to be coming into his own, but he entered the transfer portal. His dad posted something on Twitter about, you know, the fact that he wasn't going to be starting next year. That might have factored into it. But that still, again, was very surprising, especially with PJ Hall probably leaving. You know, there was definitely some room in the front court for a guy like Godfrey to play a lot. As far as transfers in, I mean, that's still kind of a mystery. We're kind of figuring out who might potentially come and replace, because they'll need plenty of guys. I mean, I think they only have five players currently slated from the roster last year to definitely be playing next year. And you have three incoming freshmen. So that's only eight players. Yes, scholarship limit of 13 in men's college basketball. So that's another five guys they could potentially pick up. So Brad Brownell, I think, mentioned it in a radio interview recently, shark-infested waters with the transfer portal, with NIL out there. And, you know, they're losing some guys, but obviously they have to kind of get in those waters and see if they can pull some the other way as well.
Yeah, I saw that quote that you put up on your Twitter feed a couple of days ago, and I was intrigued by that. That's the what. I want to talk about the why and get your opinion on this, John. I've said for a while, like, I understand that coaches are there's probably no world in which coaches are going to like NIL. It makes their job harder. None of us like things that make our jobs harder, and I get that. But if you got a guy like an RJ Godfrey, if it is true that he's transferring because he wanted to start and he was going to be a reserve guy at Clemson, I've kind of reached the point where I would want to take a Brad Brownell or a Dabo Swinney or anybody else and go, if that's the type of kid on the team, aren't you better off letting them go than sitting around complaining about it? Kind of when you see these names, especially like RJ Godfrey, and you see them hit the portal, what's your personal reaction to all of it?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm a reporter, so I try to keep, you know, my emotions and feelings out of it. But as far as Brad Brownell, I understand why he's a little frustrated. I mean, you spent 2 years developing this guy. You know, he was very limited. It's kind of more of just an interior paint presence. Was not a great free throw shooter. By the end of the year, you got him to the point where he's able to hit 8 of 8 from the, you know, from the line in the NCAA tournament, which was huge. Obviously, you know, RJ deserves credit for doing that himself as well. But, you know, also becoming more of a productive scorer inside. You know, you put all this effort into expanding his game, and you feel like he's just starting to come into his own. And now, you know, he hits the transfer portal. You know, and so I get why the coaches are frustrated. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of maybe it's better just let that guy walk. Yeah, you don't want people who aren't committed, who don't really value kind of what you bring to the table, or who are demanding things. I mean, the thing that's kind of odd about, you know, what his dad, Randall, said on Twitter is that he already knows he's not starting next year. I mean, we're months away from the actual season. So he had an opportunity over the next several months to potentially earn a starting spot or to, you know, be a sixth man who comes off the bench and plays 25 minutes. I mean, what's really the difference there? I can kind of, you know, see all that, you know, from a coach's perspective. what they would maybe feel about that. So, it's frustrating. But, yeah, at the end of the day, like you said, I mean, if a guy doesn't want to be there, if he wants to go somewhere else, he feels like that's a better opportunity, you'd rather not have that person sticking around being upset. So, it is what it is. Guys are going to leave nowadays, especially with NIL and the offers they can get there as well. And you have to, find those core group of guys. I think in the comment that Brad Brunell said, it's like you just hope to have 7 or 8 that you can bring forward to the next year, and you kind of figure out the rest. Right now, it's really only about a handful of guys, but they got to find the rest that they can kind of, build in around those guys.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us on Mondays to talk Clemson athletics. Let's flip it over to baseball. John dropped 2 out of 3 against NC State, but 11-4 in conference play. I know there's been some roster management, moving a front end guy back into the bullpen, etc. Can you just give me kind of the overall rundown for Clemson baseball? Still inside the top 5, but a team they swept in Florida State, now one spot behind them. Not a great weekend for Clemson. Real good season so far. Where do you stand on Clemson ball right now?
Yeah, I mean, they were incredibly hot. They were doing things that, just aren't sustainable. I mean, they were getting behind a lot and coming back. I mean, they were kings of the comeback. And then they kind of had a little bit of a dip there in the last game at Notre Dame. They were up 11-2. Notre Dame came all the way back in the last couple innings, tied it up, and they had to win an extra innings. So they lost that game to USC Upstate in the midweek. And Coach Backich said, it's kind of like eating humble pie. It's like we didn't really experience the loss at Notre Dame, so now we're going to get to experience it. And then they drop another game to NC State. They're kind of kicking the ball around on the infield. Not then the bats go completely dead the next game, 3-game losing streak. But again, it's baseball. You're going to lose games. I mean, they started so incredibly hot. You're going to have a skid in the opposite direction at some point, just things correct that way. And they were able to, get a win on Sunday, which felt like more than just one win. I mean, it felt like it kind of broke down kind of the mental wall that was building up for them. They had 19 straight innings where they didn't score a run. It's not like Clemson, especially the team that's been able to, again, score runs in bunches to make comebacks. And so to get that 7-0 win on Sunday kind of helped, build some, maybe positive momentum back in the other direction. They've had great pitching. Ethan Darden, his 4 runs given up on Saturday, only one of them was earned. So they had a bunch of errors in the field, and Aiden Canock through 8 innings had 10 strikeouts. The rotation looks really good, especially with Tristan Smith, the sophomore, coming back from an ankle injury. They just got to get those bats, consistently going, and I think they feel better about it after Sunday's performance.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joins us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talk to me a little bit about, I know we mentioned it just a minute ago, but as far as the pitching for this baseball team, I know we've had some moves. You've got guys like Aiden Canack who are out there playing exceptionally well. You also had, and I'm blanking on the name, but the pitcher moved from the starting spot back out to the bullpen. As far as the comeback from behind efforts, has this been a struggle with front end pitching this year that Clemson's trying to get cleaned up right now?
Again, I don't know if it's cleanup or, again, Tristan Smith, who's been out for about 3 or 4 weeks, with an ankle injury, he's about to come back. And, yeah, I think you were mentioning basically Austin Gordon. He was a guy that, he pitched a lot last spring, and then in the summer had a tired arm, had to put the ball down in the fall, tried to ramp back up to be kind of one of those weekend starters they were kind of counting on. It never really came together. I mean, he had an ERA that I think was around 8, which wasn't good. And so they just thought, okay, let's see if we can move him to the back end at closer, pick up his velocity a little bit, be able to use him multiple times on a weekend. And yeah, he's been really good in that closer role thus far. His first 3 appearances as the defined closer, he had 3 saves. The front end maybe is coming together a little bit in terms of, again, Smith coming back. Ethan Darden has kind of planted the flag as a guy that's probably going to be a weekend guy like he was last year. Initially was coming out of the bullpen, And then, like you mentioned, Aiden Kanak has been absolutely phenomenal as a freshman. So it's kind of been more just kind of figuring out roles, moving things around. I think the pitching has done enough for the most part. I think the bullpen could be a little bit better. I mean, there's been a couple guys, Rob Hughes, Nick Clayton, who've given up some runs. But, yeah, for the most part, I think the pitching's been fine. It's just, you know, in the field, not playing defense behind them, way too many errors. And then, you know, at times, again, like Saturday, we get shut out 4-0. Not getting the bats working, and that's not, you know, common for Clemson. I mean, it's a reason they started 28-3. I mean, they've always been able to get the bats going at some point. So it feels like maybe that was a little bit of an anomaly that they're getting that sorted out and got that sorted out on Sunday with a 7-0 win.
John Blau covers Clemson athletics for the Post and Courier. He joins us every Monday morning at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. John, my man, appreciate it, big dog. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau, you can follow him on Twitter at John Blau, JON_BLAU. Appreciate his time. As always, on a Monday, we don't have to go to a break. We get to go to a break. We get to experience not just a break, but the pure ecstasy and bliss that is Lonzo Sports Flash.
Enjoy it while you can. You never know when it's going to be the last one, which is why I'm going to do my best, or whatever you end up with. Despite dropping the final baseball game on the road to Florida, the Gamecocks of South Carolina took 2 out of 3 against top 25 Florida. Over the weekend, South Carolina put up 28 runs across 3 games while holding Florida to 22, including just 3 in the series opener. The win moves the Gamecocks to a season record of 25-11 overall, which is pretty good. Clemson baseball dropped a 3-game set against North Carolina State, but salvaged the weekend with a 7-0 shutout win yesterday. The two losses represented half of the total conference losses on the season, with the Tigers at 11-4 and 29-6 overall. Also, pretty good. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. It's pretty good. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, great guests, great debate, and a lot of fun. You know what? It's all Wire to Wire.